Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. You are listening to the Power Hour Radio Show. Welcome. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com are our two websites, of course. And a great broadcast today. One of my favorite guests. We don't have him on all that often, but when we do, it's a real treat. Nick Baggage, Dr. Nick Baggage from Alaska. I don't know if he's, in his spare time, if he cohorts with the Eskimos up there. I don't know what he does, or goes to the harp fields. And I don't know. We're going to ask him. Obviously, technology is of paramount interest. He's really a unique person because his parents, or his father, his brother, heavy into politics. One of them was a senator. His father was a congressman. So he's able to take the science side and the political side, kind of merge them and kind of have a discussion. I mean, just really interesting to learn from him. This whole week, we got fantastic from Sherry Tenpenny, David Icke, Patrick Wood, Wayne Elliott, Sherry Rogers, Aaron Marie, who blew the whistle on the New York
nursing home.
The nursing homes, right. Yeah. The nursing homes. Thank you. The nursing homes. She's going to be here. So great week. Hang with us. So good to be with you. Welcome to the Power Hour News. Uncle Kevin's riding shotgun. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
It's another great day in America.
Absolutely. Let's get to the news, and then we'll have Nick Baggage in about a little less than half an hour. What's the biggest story to you?
This is from the Gateway Pundit, and they're no fly-by-night organization. Rumors swirl. President Trump's recent actions indicate something huge is about to drop. President Trump's recent actions indicate the time may be very close where the deep state and Obama gang might finally face the music. On Friday, we reported that President Trump spoke to workers at the Whirlpool factory in Clyde, Ohio, to tout his efforts to restore American manufacturing. During the speech, Trump also talked about the reformed prescription drug pricing by the pharmaceuticals while speaking to reducing drug prices by cutting out the middleman.
All right. Does this make your watch run a little better?
It does.
is your Trump watch running a little better?
And then after he got done saying we're going to cut out the middleman, he says he pissed off a whole bunch of rich and powerful people, and I'm going to go underground for a while.
I don't believe what he's saying there. I believe there's something deeper to this. You've been telling me for 3.5 years he's going to do something.
I have been. He's going underground.
He's going to do it.
Is
that what you're telling me?
Yes. How about you? You think he might do it?
I believe he better.
Oh, he has to. He has to.
We'll see. Why is he that wrong now? I'm not holding my breath, but I'm not being negative about it either.
Very good. Your watch is speeding up
a little. There's nothing wrong with my watch. It's your Trump. Trump wants it. He's also, this is a big story with the cutting the payroll tax. Just briefly, just tell, don't read the story,
okay,
but just tell what's going on.
Yeah. Trump signs an executive order to cut the payroll tax to the end of the year. So people.
What does that mean? That means if I work at ABC Manufacturing.
Yeah.
And I get my check and they take out
$200 or $300.
They're not taking it out.
They are not taking it out anymore.
Wow.
So it's going straight to the people. The politicians aren't having any money that they can cut into like they did before. Remember, Trump said had to send it to the states, and then the states took their cut and then delve the rest of it off to the people. He's not doing that anymore. He's just giving it straight to the people.
We just won't take it from you to begin with.
Right.
Now, he's also putting a $400 week on unemployment.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, is this making the Democrats look bad?
Of course it is. God, yeah.
Are they going to buck this?
Of course they are. But it's an executive order, so they can't buck it.
Well, they can complain.
They can complain.
Okay, now, if they buck this, and they say, well, we can't do this. Doesn't it lose their whole audience?
It does. Yeah.
I would think, doesn't it? Or their whole audience.
Well,
is like,
everybody's
what are you guys
running
doing?
Out. That's why he's doing the unemployment, because that $600 is running out.
Well, this idea that, he said at one point, well, there's not going to be any more stimulus. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a joke. That's why I don't believe everything, any politician, I don't believe everything comes out of his mouth.
Right. Yeah.
Now him going underground and making up some excuse, does this portend to the fact that maybe there will be some arrests?
Absolutely. And the Gateway Pundit isn't no fly-by-night outfit. Oh, they right. would not be saying that unless they've heard some rumors.
Nah, not necessarily. You got a dollar. Okay, you got a dollar. You're betting it. That,
yes.
Yes.
You take a bet?
Yes, we're going to bet a dollar. So what are you saying with this dollar?
I say people are going to go get arrested.
People? Who's people? People that I've heard of in my life?
Well, maybe Charlie down at the gas station.
Is this people that I've actually heard of?
Yes.
Or is this going to be just some underling?
No.
Somebody that I've heard of.
Somebody you have heard of.
Okay, somebody prominent that I've heard of is going to be arrested.
Yes.
And we're betting a dollar.
Dollar.
And this is going to happen before the election.
Has to.
Okay, a dollar.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, it's done.
Done.
We shook on it. We pinky shook.
Oh, yeah. Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. It's done.
Oh, it's done.
Okay. More news. Third of Americans would say no to COVID vaccine, even if it was free. This is from Fox News. This is a huge story.
I'm telling you, yes.
We've been talking a lot about this masks. Going to Walmart changed their policy in less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
Every redneck, not every, but the enough rednecks, enough angry mothers, enough angry of all ethnicities, sexes, background, were at Walmart screaming, what the hell are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
And Walmart in 1 week changed their policy. I've said this over and over again. This is a very important discussion because this is the precursor to the vaccine discussion.
Yes. Everything's being written down.
We put a story out less than a month ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That said it was 18%.
Right. Oh, yes.
So this is saying 30%.
I have a paper that says 42%.
Okay.
And that's got to be low coming from.
So the truth is that a significant part of America is not taking this vaccine.
No.
My sister-in-law who called into the show, that was hilarious that she called in. I wish we had more time so you could hear, I could have asked her, so you all could have heard some of the stories about my in-laws. Maybe we'll have her on again. You should hear this. She's actually one of the brother, she's married to the brother-in-law that I really like, and I like her too.
A little.
No, I like her a lot. No, I like her a lot. See, I forgot my thought. Anyway, she had a discussion with her brother, who's heavily into medical researching, and they about came to blows about this. I mean,
taking the vaccine?
Yeah, she says she's not doing it, which is very, if you would have known her 5 years ago, this would surprise you. This idea that they're going to make it mandatory and everybody's got to take it.
It ain't going.
There is no way.
Ain't going.
No way. And this idea that they're going to come to your house with a gun, with the police, and they're going to force you to, I will promise you, if that happens in the next few months, there are a lot of policemen that are going to be shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
There will be no way that that's going to happen
absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely.
Now, what I do think, it's kind of like the Gerald Celente, among other people, I'm hearing this from some of my contacts that are very connected in Wall Street. Mm-hmm. They say at some point gold and silver, they're going to confiscate gold and silver, but it's not what you think.
Okay.
It's not going to be FDR and they say, bring in your,
we'll give you the cheap money. We'll give you the cheap money and make a
million.
That
won't want to be.
Okay.
It'll be, you can keep your gold and silver, but when you sell it, we're going to have a 50%, 60%, 70% tax.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
like a bail-in.
It's a bail-in.
It's a Greek bail-in. The bail-in
with your gold.
It's a
big with your gold and your silver, they're going to bail them. Okay. Why do I say that? Why do I compare? I think what may occur is, well, people in the healthcare industry, it's mandated that you get this in certain states. So if you live in New York and you're in the healthcare industry, they're going to mandate it. So then the general population, it doesn't affect them. They don't really think about it because Americans, if we've seen anything, if it doesn't affect them immediately, they really don't care.
They
don't care.
Yeah,
they think, I don't have to worry about it. And a lot of the people who are worrying about this, that's exactly what they're going to think.
Yeah.
So these discussions, these points must be hammered home, must be very important right now.
And it's an RNA vaccine. No,
yeah.
They've never, ever in the history of man have had an RNA vaccine that worked.
I'm not going to go into this now, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you for me, there is no way on God's green earth, as long as I have a breath in my life and a cognizant, I am getting. And not only this vaccine, any vaccine.
Yep, and 100%. And 100% of the people in the trial who got the big dose, 100% of them got sick.
Europe's top health officials say masks aren't helpful in beating COVID.
Excellent.
They're not even helpful.
I agree.
Anthony Fauci, he says, talking about this vaccine, he says, we don't know yet what the efficacy might be. This is his quote.
Yeah.
We don't know if it'll be 50 or 60%. I'd like it to be 75 or more, but the chances of it being 98% effective is not great, which means underline, I'm going to underline this one here, which means you must never abandon the public health approach. The public health approach is you can't talk to your grandma. You got to wear a mask and you can't talk to people.
And you got to get a booster shot.
Well, he didn't
say
that.
I'm sure that's in there somewhere.
Okay. So the top health officials, Europe's top health officials, say masks don't work.
Yes.
Another country, Denmark, Netherlands, Sweden, all are not mandating masks. Some of the people, some of the media is trying to force them into it. And what they came back with is there is no evidence that this works at all. In fact, there's some indication that this is hurting people. This is hurting people. Dentists are warning about mask mouth.
Yeah.
So the gum disease, gum disease is, if you know, is directly related to heart disease.
That's exactly
the more
right.
people are going to die and what have you. Mask mouth. Dentists say mask mouth can cause serious health complications, including strokes. More people, even conservative, surveys are saying that whatever the number, and that's even using their bloated number, that about 2/3 of the number of people who supposedly died from coronavirus have died by other means caused by the shutdown.
Absolutely.
That's using all their nonsense numbers and assuming they're all true.
Yeah.
That's what they've come up with. The biggest story in the world, or in America, this payroll tax is a big story. This is the biggest story.
Okay.
And I brought this up on Friday. Was it Friday or the day? Yeah, Friday. Alabama cheerleaders face backlash after posing with a T-shirt bearing Confederate flag. I love redneck boys. Quote, yeah, this isn't the biggest story, but it's connected. I'm getting there. The way the Confederacy and the Civil War has been portrayed for years, because to the victor go the spoils, to the victor also go the how you tell the story, the narrative.
Yeah.
The South has been very reluctant for a lot of years. You know, I'm getting to the age where I've seen some things, you know, 40 years ago in the South, I grew up in the South, the attitude was a lot different. You know, those damn Yankees, the South will rise again, save your Confederate money. These things were kind of jokes, but not. They're part of the culture. That what happened in the Civil War was a destruction of Southern culture, a destruction of their who they were, and it was a black mark on America. Not the slavery issue and all these things was not what was focused on. Okay. Why is this so crucial? Because the Civil War is being used to be the headliner in all this cancel culture.
Yeah.
Everything hinges on the portrayal of the Civil War.
Yeah. Trash in the South.
Right. They were for slavery, so we got to get rid of Robert E. Lee. We got to get rid of the flags, the culture, different, the whole thing. Okay, whether you agree, disagree, think I'm crazy, think I'm up in the night. That's how it's being used to justify these things. The cheerleaders, a half black cheerleader, another black cheerleader, some other people, they quit the cheerleading squad. They're trying to figure out a way. This is Daphne, Alabama, of how can we punish these girls? How can you punish a girl for wearing a Confederate flag on their shirt saying, I love redneck boys?
You can't.
How can you do that?
If you do, you're going to get to have a big lawsuit.
You might have a shotgun in the face.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If this was a long time ago in the South. Okay. We don't have time today. We're going to, at some point, we're going to play the clip from Steve Pachenik so you understand something about Lincoln. Lincoln offered, this is something you need to understand. Again, by saying this, I am not defending slavery, the institution of slavery. What I'm saying, between the stars and stripes and the Confederate flag, which one was the slave flag? Which one was the slave flag? No, they both were.
Oh.
They both had slaves.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They both were. This is ridiculous. Yeah. They both were.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln went to the South because the talk of secession was, obviously before the Civil War. He offered the South a 13th Amendment that said that the federal government could have anything to say about state institutions and it would be a state decision. He was giving them a pass. There would be nothing said about slavery. There would be nothing done at all. Just please stay in the Union. Please pay your tax.
That's right.
Because the South was paying about 85 to 90% of the new taxes that were coming in. 85 to 90% of the taxes were coming from the South on these new excise taxes. Mm-hmm. They were looking to do another port in New Orleans and increase trade instead of Boston and New York. The North was kind of losing their grip and basically using the South as a third world textile industry. These were all exceptional factors. What did the South do? How did they respond? Did they take Lincoln's offer? Okay, you'll let us use the you'll back off on slavery and things will just go normal. Did they take that? No.
No.
They said, no, we don't want your whatever. We want liberty. That's right. Constitutional principles. We want to rule ourselves.
That's right.
So when people say, oh, the Civil War is about slavery, that is a
misnomer.
A misnomer. It's a diluted half-truth that is destroying, and now let's see how it's used. Now, the biggest story in America, the same way the South has been portrayed and manipulated and the truth has been manipulated, is now you're seeing them do that with the Founding Fathers. Beginning. You're seeing them do this with the Founding Fathers. So as you portray Thomas Jefferson and you portray America, and what have we always said when they went after Robert E. Lee? It wasn't about Robert E. Lee. They don't care about Robert E. Lee. They care about Thomas Jefferson. Why? Because he wrote the most provocative, most profound, or was the major writer along with the Founding Fathers in writing the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. It's obvious, above argument, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That is the greatest political sentence that has ever, 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 ever been written in recorded history that we have. And most important. Okay, I don't care if Thomas Jefferson stole nickels from old ladies. I don't care if he ran every full moon, he ran naked down Main Street.
Me neither.
We're not deifying Thomas Jefferson. We're deifying what God did through these founding fathers. Okay. I went over this, talked about the school. They don't teach this anymore because this is now a racist document. They can use the Civil War to now taint your view of what America is. America is an idea. Okay. Now listen to this story. Cancel culture distorts history to portray U.S. as an evil nation that must be transformed. The repercussions of this mask of our nation's history are real and significant. Despite being labeled so wrong in so many ways by a group of Pulitzer Prize-winning historians, the 1619 Project. Have you ever heard of the 1619 Project?
No.
The 1619 Project is set to hit K-12 classrooms this fall.
Oh, gosh.
Soon. Six-year-olds will be learning a reframed version of America according to the project's makeover view of history. What are they telling these students? 1619 was the beginning of America, not 1776, when American colonists declared independence from Britain. It actually is our nation's birth year. That's because 1619 was the year the first enslaved Africans arrived in the colonies. This is what will be taught in some school districts coming this fall. How far have we come? Their arrival inaugurated a barbaric system of chattel slavery that would last for the next 250 years. Okay, that statement in itself is ignorant, stupid, and misguided. This is sometimes referred to as the country's original sin, but it's more than that, is the country's very origin. You're an ignorant fool.
Yeah.
Okay, to start with, did the nation of America bring these slaves to America? No. The British Crown did. Why don't you complain about the British Crown? Why don't you fawn over them and why don't you rip down anything to do with Britain? Why don't you get upset when somebody brings a Union Jack flag on their shirt to school? Why don't you do that? Because the nation of America did not bring slaves to America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
In fact, there was a very short window that they did. No Southern ship ever did, by the way.
That's right.
And who was it that stopped the slave trade in America? Who was it, ladies and gentlemen?
Thomas Jefferson,
1807 executive order. Bet you didn't know that, Black Lives Matter or 1619 Project.
And slavery's been going on for ever, and it only took America 76 years to stop
it. Well, that's the other thing. This idea, the blacks weren't the first slaves to America.
No.
The Irish were.
Yep.
Among others, but mainly the Irish. They hated the Irish.
Yep.
The Irish were. So really, it's much sooner than that. 1607, the colony of Virginia. They need somebody to pick cotton, or to pick tobacco,
mm-hmm.
then eventually cotton. Very labor-intensive crops.
Yep.
Am I justifying this? No.
No.
I'm not shying away from it, but are we going to ruin our history? Now they're lying about history. So the way they've manipulated the Civil War and what the Confederate flag means, and a lot of people died for that, and that culture means something. Now you're seeing why I've harped on this. Now you're seeing why I've been so adamant about the Confederate flag, the Confederacy, the South, the heritage, because the same techniques they used on that is what they're doing in 1776. And in the school, the 1619 Project, they're going to tell your children, if you let them.
Yeah, if you let them. Don't let them.
That America didn't start in 1776 with the greatest political moment ever. In fact, the greatest moment in world history for at least about 2,000 years. Or about 2,000 years since the life of the Savior. Okay, from the Savior to 1776, there is no more important, no more greater event, no more illuminating event, no more godly event than the Declaration of Independence. And now they're going to use the excuse that slaves were brought in 1619 by the British government to make you to forget Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence and that moment, because they want to use and manipulate your endowment, your individuality, so that they can take it to themselves and they can control you. Is that not obvious what it is? Eschew all of it. These people who say this, they are anathema to me. They are worse than illegitimate to me. They are terrorists. They are traitors. They're ignorant in some ways.
And you're going to be teaching our kids.
They're teaching our kids. It's an ideological war. America is an idea, not a location.
Right.
And the idea is what Thomas Jefferson penned. So there you go. Stay tuned. Nick Baggage on the other side. A lot of news on the Power Hour.
Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Thank you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Numana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Supreme Court violated their oath to the Constitution and laws of the United States. Find out how in this new book, The Electoral College for Patriots, by Tom Crier. This anti-constitutional decision may get exploited to convert our country from a once great republic to just another democracy on the ash heap of history. Read The Electoral College for Patriots by Tom Crier so you'll know who to blame for this travesty of the justices. Available online at theelectoralcollegeforpatriots.com and online wherever books are sold.
I'm really excited to have our next guest on. It's been a while, been too long, really. He has been proven bright. I mean, is he Nostradamus? I don't know. He's written many books about HAARP. His new book, Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Begich. We'll get into that. AI. He, of course, is up there in the great white north, Alaska, and excited to have him here on the Power Hour. EarthPulse.com is his website, and he's right here live. Nick Begich, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, it's good to be with you again. You know, it's been a little while, and the world has changed, right? I mean, just in the last 6 months, a totally different place. And when you think about, you know, what's happening and, you know, earlier in the year, I was doing a little bit of traveling. I was actually in Hong Kong and Thailand in late January, early February. So got to see sort of how things unfolded, you know, from an Asian perspective, because we weren't doing anything here.
Well, tell us about that. So what was it, December that China had the first inkling? Or was
it? Actually, even earlier, some say, but at least December. And then January was hitting, and we started hearing about this in the U.S. early January. And then it was, I think it was about the third week is when we actually flew out, because we got back on the 8th of February. Now, when we went into Thailand, they were already in late January checking temperatures with infrared from a distance. And then leaving Thailand, they checked us individually. And then when we got to Hong Kong, getting off the plane to switch, they checked us again, coming off the plane, checked us midway through the terminal. Then we flew nonstop to Seattle, got to Seattle. No one asked us anything. No one checked anything. No one did anything. And my friends who came back later, they came back the 28th of February, went through the same experience, never asked anything on the U.S. side. So we weren't really doing anything here at all. On the U.S. side, although in Asia they were already screening and checking way before.
There were a lot of reports that people from China were basically pouring over here to America, unchecked or as soon as I heard that, I mean, I can remember, why are they not being quarantined? Why is not every plane that comes from Asia, you land and every person's checked before you go into America? Yeah. Why didn't we do that?
I don't know why we didn't, but I mean, there were like 8,000 people a day coming into LA. And then Trump, of course, he stopped those Chinese flights, made everybody really angry. And in fact, back then the World Health Organization was saying, oh, don't worry, you know, and
don't worry.
Everything's wonderful. But think about it from a strategic perspective. And that's something that I think is really important here. No matter what you believe about how it started, where it started, what happened there, but the fact that it happened, something happened, and the opportunity for bad actors, right? I mean, or anyone really, because when you have these things happen, China looks at it and goes, okay, I have a whole stack of books here on Chinese philosophy, all right, in terms of their cultural history, the makeup, how people think about how they think about the world. And they don't think in quarters or 3 month increments. They think in 100-year increments. You know, they think in the long term, take a long view. And one of the baselines is to take your adversary's strength and use it against them. Think about capitalism in China. Capitalism isn't a political system, it's an economic system. So in China, they applied our economic system. What did they get out of that? They went from bicycles in 1971 to the biggest middle class rising since the Industrial Revolution, okay, in just a few short years. And they did it by adopting a form of capitalism, you know, a form, I would say, but in a way that looked at it totally differently. They looked at it as a long game. You know, people were asking, why are the Chinese outbidding everyone for things like 10% over the value of stuff, 15% over the value of stuff? Why? Because they were converting all that currency, all that paper into real assets, knowing they would eventually inflate, they'd catch up. Because they take a long view. They ain't worried about the short run. They want to own the means of producing things, the four really important things. They want to control the labor force. They want to control what is entrepreneurship. They want to control land and natural resources. And they want to control, you know, ultimately the capital equipment that builds things. So this is a way to do it. When you think about what's happening now, we're a consumer economy in the U.S. That's the reality. We're by consuming things, this economy.
We're not making things anymore.
No. Yeah. And we're a service economy. We do things that are like what I call puff. You know, they're just like, where is it? Right. You know, where's the beef, as they used to say on the commercial, right? I mean, where's the
meat? There's no production. There's no real producing anything, right?
Yeah, it's odd, okay? But when you think about it, so now what happened? All the service industries went to a full stop, just about, in the U.S. All of the consumerism, if you will, changed dramatically. It went from storefronts and small businesses to the mega international globalist companies. You know, when you think about where all the money now is going, you know, and how many people are folding, and we're in this suspended animation right now because of the fake fiat floating around.
So you're basically saying, no matter if this is real or not, or bats or was staged, what has come of it is we're transitioning our economy from mom and pop stores to Walmart and e-commerce. Basically, Walmart and Amazon are the big winners here. PayPal, and our economy, we were told for years, I can remember the discussion about NAFTA in, you know, the 90s. Oh, you know, it's fine if we send our jobs, our manufacturing, because we'll have a service economy. Well, not only now do they not let us make anything, but now we can't even do our service. We can't even do our service industry that you sold this on.
Now think about from a Chinese perspective. One of the other things in the view of the art of war, a really fundamental way of looking at commerce, not just warfare, but commerce, would say you use your enemy's strength against them. You use deceit, lying. You know, I mean, think about China again. You know, I mean, what is that all about? Yeah, that's China and on steroids. And then you think about feigning weakness when you really have strength. Another Chinese art of war in terms of how you organize yourself, how you face your adversary. The other one, the big winner, is you try and win the war without ever firing a shot or without ever drawing your sword. See, and if you crush our economy, don't you win? Don't you really win if you bring everybody in America into their houses, huddle down, hunkering down for fear? Don't you win? So think about how things are exploited. Now, if you're a consumer society, or you're the society that China is, which has social scoring, which I'm sure you've talked about on the show before, where you look at everything that's going on with the Chinese citizen. China looks. They even look at your face everywhere you walk, and they score you. And that determines whether you can go to college, whether you can travel, whether you get a passport, whether you live in a decent house, all of these things. And in the U.S., see, we're throwing that overlay in on a commercial basis through the Googles and the Facebooks and the big actors. So when you think of technology, they collect all that data, and then they use it and sell it and market it, even where you click your clicker on the machine you're using. Where you leave your cursor rest is where the ad will always appear and get in your way, and you'll at least look at it. So, I mean, everything, when you sign up for those little apps and you agree to all the stuff that you never read, they dive into your life and extract every bit of data, just like they kicked in your doorway to your home. Only it's your digital doorway they just kicked in, and they kick it in every day, every minute, and gather data, and then use that data to send you specific messaging that's oriented to get you to either do something, buy something, vote for someone, or whatever it is that they want to move you into, because they know you better than you know you. Because 3,000 contacts through the internet of what you did, what you looked at, just data points, if you will, 3,000 of them give as much knowledge about you as someone who lived with you for 20 years, and gives a predictive model that's so good it'll predict what you'll do better than you will. And this is the part that gets a little weird, you know, because some people say, hey, you know, I was just thinking about doing this, and then there's the ad. You know, has that happened to you yet?
All right, you're moving very fast, and these are huge topics that you're going through. I want to back up Cambridge Analytica. I want to talk about that.
Right.
What you just mentioned. I want to go back, let's put a bow on China before we jump off them, at least for now. You said they like the fake weakness. What is China really weak in, and what are they faking? So what is the weakness that they're faking? What are they weak on?
A military strength. They're faking that one. Because if you look at how many destroyers and aircraft carriers and different things that they've built in the last 30 years. And see, when we build a ship in the U.S., it costs about $80, $100 an hour for the labor feeding that ship. Because under Davis-Bacon wage rates, which is a set rate, that's you have to build ships that way. That's why shipping is so expensive, U.S. port to U.S. port, because the Jones Act says you can only ship U.S. port to U.S. port with a U.S. flag vessel, so it costs 8 times as much as using a foreign flag vessel. So we don't have the freight business. We are in a world of hurt when you think about how we're even structured. And when you think about China's strength, they're building ships, destroyers, for a few bucks an hour for a lot of the labor feeding that. So you can't look at military spending as an example. They go, oh, they're only spending $100 billion. We're spending 6-7 times that. But when you get 20 or 30 times of productive output for that.
Yeah, we're losing. We're behind.
We're behind. And we look like we're ahead because you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to look at productive output, not fiat. Not the money in between the real stuff. You need to look at the real stuff that comes out the other end, because that's a combination of those four things. Labor, entrepreneurship, capital equipment, and land and natural resources. Those are real economy. Those are things that build wealth. When you study economics, these are the things. In between are what you exchange goods, gold, silver, or fiat, or whatever you're doing. So this is the feed is the fiat. And the idea, the old idea was that there's shortage. Okay, so if you put too much fiat in circulation, then things inflate. Why didn't they inflate yet? Well, because there's more goods and more services available than there is fiat. That's the truth of the matter. Maybe we live in an age of abundance, not shortage, and the economic thought, which is what the globalists are saying, is different now. So they're introducing this different thought that you can just pump out money and no inflation. And so far, so good. You know, we saw a lot pump out, you know, $10 trillion between the Fed and the U.S. government and the Europeans. Poof, puff money appears and no inflation. But there's no velocity. No one's spending any of it. So there's no way to really gauge that either. The money's coming in, but it's going into different configuration of purchases to sustain people. So it's different. It's going to rent, food, those things that are seeing a little bit of inflation now.
When you look at China and what you just described, which is eloquent the way you did it, do you sit there and think, gosh, we shot ourselves in the foot on this? I mean, even the destroyers they're building, aren't they using our technology that they stole?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't they using Nixon back in 71 said, oh, you know, we're going to go to Red China, and basically they open and they let we let. Don't you feel like we've created the noose that we're hanging from now?
Oh, yeah. But it was Kissinger more than Nixon, and Kissinger right. and Zbigniew Brzezinski. And Zbigniew Brzezinski had a worldview that was very different. You can read it in his 1970 book, which is just before he went to China, 1970 book called Between Two Ages. And it's one I quote often because it deals with the transition of technology, what it does to economies, what it does to the world politics. And it's like a roadmap. It's not a – if you read it today, you say, oh, there's the history book. But that was the prediction and the model, and these guys built it. And then Kissinger and Zbigniew formed with others the Trilateral Commission, and then that formed the think tank for where this world was headed. And we're here. Okay, we're here now, where they wanted us to go, where they set us up for. Because you have to always have an adversary in the banking business, and Russia was shifting and changing, so they weren't going to be our adversary anymore. Democrats like to make them our adversary again. But I can tell you the Russians aren't interested in this kind of a thing. Putin's interested in making money and having an economy that runs because he has a declining population. His total national debt is only about 30% or less of their national reserves. They can pay it off. And most of their reserves are not U.S. treasuries. They've been building their gold reserves for the last several years and decreasing their treasury holdings down to where they're negligible in terms of their overall pool. China's been doing the same thing, acquiring world assets, moving more gold. China's the biggest gold producer in the world now. No, most people don't know it, and they import. Okay, these are big things because you have this combination of Russia and China moving out of the dollar to trade between each other. This means there's a lot of dollar surpluses. So what they're trying to do now is create the surplus of dollars that might then fuel the inflation that we've so far avoided.
All right, I'm listening to you, and I'm looking for the weakness in China. You've told me what the fake weakness is. What is the? I mean, are we? Is our back up against the wall? That's what I'm getting from you.
No, I think because here's what I also know: human nature doesn't like being oppressed or suppressed. And the Chinese government has had their foot on the neck of the Chinese people an awful long time. And at some point that boils over into something else.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. And so they got their soup boiling too. And the thing about that is, China is really the one, to be aware of. And you need to think about what China's long-term perspective of. China wants Biden in. Okay, is another thing that's important to note. Even Pelosi acknowledges that. Okay, now that's dangerous in my view, because if there's an adversary for the philosophy of the United States and the American people, if there's an adversary to that in the world today, it's China, not Russia. Russia is a evolving democracy, weak, corrupt, like all of them are at some point. Will it change? I think it will. I've done business in Russia for over 20 years, in and out of Russia. When I see the Russian people, they're in their sphere of influence. Where do they have base? They have base in Syria. They took Crimea back for some reasons that are political, mainly because of what the U.S. was doing and our allies. But that's the extent of it.
You know, what do you make of Ukraine? What do you make of Ukraine in that?
Ukraine is a buffer zone. So, you know, from Russia's perspective, but it was also the breadbasket for a lot of what happened in Russia. It's produced a lot of wheat, a lot of food, a lot of things. I was there just after the opening up in the middle 90s, you know, and saw what was happening there. And what I saw there was really interesting because the suppression of people is what blew up there. Is people got tired of it and their livelihoods were diminished to a point where they were really suffering. And that's what began this revolution in Eastern Europe was the suffering of people. And that's where China's going to see the same model because you can only hold the human consciousness down. And that is their weakness is every human soul has a light inside that recognizes the lie and the truth. And eventually, when you push a population down, it explodes. China's no exception. what they've done is this level of surveillance. I mean, this is a really big move. The idea now that what we're hearing from the World Health Organizations, the United Nations, and the Democrats on the first relief bill tried to shove in electronic money, right, to get rid of the filthy currency so they can track every single transaction that you make. Every economic move you make then is traced back to you. This is the bigger picture that people need to be aware of, because these opportunities that are presented by these kinds of so-called disasters are in fact used. Whether they happen naturally, artificially, that you can fight that till the cows come home, and that's just a big diversion. You have to look at how
it's irrelevant.
Perceive it. Yeah,
it's irrelevant. At some point, it becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't matter if it's true. It matters if people believe it's true and begin acting accordingly. That's how we perceive it. That's what's being utilized here. And when you have mass surveillance that you have, either in the consumer economy through those portholes or through a communist government like China, the same result is there. You're able to know and to push and to limit. And because of the way information is collected by most people today, most people just look at what they're interested in. So we have this pinhole that we're looking through at the world. And what used to happen is there were so few news channels, right, that you got all your news from essentially a cluster of channels, and they had to at least appear neutral, you know, so you got a little bit of each side. And then
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, and then you had competing newspapers in town, one that might have a conservative bent, we had in Anchorage, and one that had a liberal bent. So you got the editorial side, and then you got the news. But now you don't have that. You have pinhole news. Nobody goes and gets their opposition. I do it every day. What I do is I look at all the things that come out of mainstream. Then I look at I spend 8 hours looking at all of the news feeds coming in from various sources. And then I aggregate that and I say, okay, now how do I simplify this into something that we can all kind of grab hold of? Because no one has time to sort this out. And what I see historically and playing out across the world and traveling a lot until lately, was the same things manifesting, but with a different little cultural overlay. So it feels a little comfortable, you know, so it feels a little comfortable.
What does China want out of America? Do they want regional economies instead of, I think globalism is dying. And it's becoming, you know, regional, like a trilateral commission kind of thing with Asia. Do they want to invade America and take our national parks? I mean, what do they want out of America?
You know, I think basically what you're dealing with is a philosophy they believe in that they'd like to spread. Simple as that. Socialism, communism, however you want to characterize it. And look at what's going on in the streets of America today. Seems to be working, you know. So what do they really want? They want to use capitalism to spread communism.
Use freedom. Use our freedom. Use the Bill of Rights to destroy the Bill of Rights.
Right. Because they've got, you know, and what you see, the pushback that Donald Trump is doing is based on intelligence information. It's not based on some, oh, let's just beat up China this week. We threw people out that are spying. We're catching them now and getting them out of here. We're getting them out of our universities where
the
they've
schools.
Been spying. The
that
schools.
Was...
And this is all BS, you know, and we can't do it there. They strip out the intellectual property, strip it right out.
Steal it. Steal.
Yeah.
Use the word,
yeah.
Steal.
Yeah. And then here's what they tell us. They say, oh, well, you know, sorry about that. And here's the thing. On intellectual property, it's illegal to steal it. It's a crime, okay? In the U.S., you know how they prosecute that crime? Unless you're one of the big players in the world, they say, they keep statistics of how many times people get robbed. And that's it. The FBI doesn't engage copyright infringement, any of this, unless you're the big guy. So we don't get equal play in the law. And they're talking about intellectual property being stolen in China. It's stolen in the U.S. every single day. And our government doesn't do anything. I've had my intellectual property stolen, and they say, oh, dial the call center. We'll put it on our statistics to go to the Congress to get more money so we can run more call centers. And this is what's going on. And on all of it, it's rhetoric. All right. If you go to India, I've got an example for you. I know somebody doing business in India. They were able, they had an opportunity to bid on a major government project. They're over $20 million. And then they were told by their head programmer, oh, we've got to pay the bribe. Well, we can't pay the bribe. That's illegal. We'll go to jail in the U.S. for that. So they passed on it. That was the same week Obama was over there, quite a few years ago, was talking about all these opportunities in India and how it's not a level playing field. They can bribe, we can't, unless you're the government. Then our government bribes governments and players all over the world as a matter of record. You know, we ship airplane loads of $100 bills into Iraq, to spread around. And Afghanistan to spread around.
Spread our goodwill. It's just our goodwill, Nick.
Goodwill in a brown paper bag. But if you do that as an American citizen anywhere in the world, you go to prison in the U.S. So it isn't a level playing field. These are all a bunch of corrupt countries operating corruptly. And we're supposed to talk about a level playing field. I'll tell you another place that's not level. Go and sell something there in their currency. And try and bring it back to the U.S. And here's what they do on the way into the U.S. SWIFT system and your local bank or your national bank. They skim up to 8% as if they just, instead of the $2 charge for the transaction.
There's the first break. Wow, what an electric first half hour, buddy. Electric. More with Dr. Nick Baggett's EarthPulse.com. On the other side, don't you dare go anywhere. You're listening to the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really